When it comes to flying your drone, trial and error is not a strategy. It's insanity. Insanity. So get your drone questions answered by the experts so you can save time and money by lowering your learning curve. And now your hosts, Rob Burdick and Paul Aitken.
Hey everyone, and welcome to another awesome episode of Ask Drone You. My name is Paul.
And I'm Rob. And you're listening to episode number 272. And as always, we thank you for spending a few minutes of your day with us.
We do appreciate it, and we appreciate things to be happy for. Do you know what I'm happy for today, Rob?
I'm guessing you're happy for some legislation.
Oh!
In the news?
Yes, that is actually 100% correct.
Absolutely.
Why is it good news, Rob? From a droney, why is it good news?
Well, I think it... Well, for a lot of reasons, but just remove some restrictions that we've all been worried about, that we're all dealing with.
Slashes the red tape.
Yes.
The red tape is gone.
Sweet.
I hate red tape, Rob.
I don't like red tape.
Stop putting it on my car.
I like green tape.
Can I actually tell you something funny that happened this morning?
Please.
I ate my Panera breakfast at the park where they just put up the no flying signs.
Yeah.
So my giant blue car that says legal flyer with a drone on the side of it evacuated the parking lot of the Parks and Rec employees.
Yeah, that's not very cool. I saw that was on the front page of today's paper.
Yes. Yes, it was. I commented on the show, though.
I saw that.
Okay, good.
I saw that.
Yeah. I was just disappointed that Mr. Winters would make a decision, a unilateral decision, without really talking to both parties, really seeing if the complaint that had come into the city was legitimate or not, and they hadn't done that. And
yeah, I would say that it's safe to say that due diligence was not done.
Correct, yeah. You know, when I saw Kelly Gossett comment, though, do you know who Kelly Gossett is? He is the kayaker who does the kayaking workshops for the physically disabled at the water park.
Oh, I didn't know that. That's cool. That name's familiar, but regardless, I did not know about that.
He's the one where we did the kayaking and took photos and paddleboarded the balloon fiesta. That
cool
guy. Well, the city had said, we want to work with you on creating more recreational activities on the water, and we're going to partner you up with Brad Winters, the same guy who did this really lackluster knee-jerk reaction to flying. And he said, 4 years ago, we were told to work with Mr. Winters, and in 4 years, he hasn't answered a single phone call.
No way.
Yeah, and I was like, wow.
That's really disappointing.
Yeah,
but
totally.
You know what? I mean, there might be more to that story, and I'd like to certainly get both sides before we started shooting any arrows, but...
That's true. Well, that's a local issue. Let's get to the national issue. So in the AIR Act, if you guys are familiar with the AIR Act, we kind of talked about it a little bit previously with John Ruprecht, why it was important. And we talked about the micro UAS rule that was in Bill H.R. 4432. But yesterday, Representative Rodney Davis, who is a Republican, in conjunction with Sherry Bustos, who is a Democrat, both from Illinois, filed an amendment to the Federal Aviation Administration funding measure that would exempt drones that are smaller than 4.4 pounds from any upcoming regulations that are being developed for the unmanned aerial devices. A lawmaker said the exemption would benefit small drone manufacturers who primarily market their devices to recreational users. And then he said, quote, "In U.S. policy regarding drones has not kept up with technology and lags behind that of other countries," Davis said in a statement. "This common sense amendment will remove bureaucratic red tape and allow for responsible use of drones. The new classification will spur innovation and help small manufacturers like Horizon Hobby, which specializes in manufacturing drones for agriculture use, expand and create jobs." This seems too good to be true.
But it's right there in writing.
I know. I love it. I'm so happy. I'm toning down my passion, Rob.
Well, we don't want you to do... Well, maybe a little bit. But no, it's good news. And what I like about what I'm reading here is that it talks about, as long as the drone is under that weight class, it could be used for any purpose.
Any commercial purpose.
Well, it doesn't say commercial, but it says any purpose. You've inserted commercial. At least what I'm looking at doesn't say commercial.
Let me double check this, because I'm pretty sure it is commercial, at least how I've read it. Anyway, continue. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you at all. But
regardless, the point is it could be used for any purpose, including commercial, is what's implied by the statement.
Gotcha.
So that's what I like about it, and it just gives a lot more flexibility to the use of those kinds of drones, because as we've been saying all along, the uses for those drones that are below that weight class are so vast.
Yes,
and
it's true.
So it's exciting that people could start doing that. we, as part of our community, we hear people all the time that are just so frustrated because they're not sure what to do because they're frankly afraid. And so they're doing nothing. Mm-hmm. And to see something like this come out, which would sort of open up the skies to them, if you will, would mm-hmm. be under 400 feet, of course, would be very cool.
Yes, I think it's really cool. I also like, I mean, this is so common sense. I mean, when they really say common sense legislation, it really is. And the guys say very clearly, you know, we are very far behind other countries that are developed with UAS. This would allow people to do anything with any drone 4.4 pounds or below. So what kind of drones are we talking about? We're talking about Phantoms. We're talking about Solos. We're talking about
Uniques, probably.
Yes. The one thing that I did notice in here, because a lot of people are asking, well, how are they going to measure the weight? They say in the bill that the weight is measured with the drone and the payload attached. My question is, does that mean the battery's on the drone?
I would sure think that the payload would include the battery.
Well, I make the argument because when they weigh planes for their plane classification, like ultralights have to be under, I think it's like 267 pounds, something like that. You know, do they weigh them with fuel in them? Probably not.
Yeah, I don't know. It's a good question.
So would they weigh the drone with the battery in it? Because if that were the case, the Inspire one with the X3 would come in at 4.9 pounds.
4.9 pounds without the battery.
Without the battery.
So even without the battery, it's over that limit.
Yes, but it's very close. And then you asked the question.
I don't know. Is that very close?
I like the question that you asked before. I wish you would ask it again when you're like, who's going to be doing the measuring?
Ultimately, that's... As with any of these things, the enforcement is really, really important. I mean, certainly, I think most people are going to adhere to the rules as they're stated, particularly if they make sense like this is designed to do. But at the same time, if you're a little bit over, and especially with in the case of something like the Inspire, and you don't actually know whether it includes the battery or not, meaning in terms of how they're measuring it, I could see somebody skirting because they just don't think anybody's going to come with, you know, people are going to drive around with a scale.
The difference of a half pound, really. I don't know. Well, I think it begs a good question. But one of the other things I really liked about this proposal or the amendment to the AIR Act was the fact that they say you've got to be 5 miles away from a towered airport.
Yeah.
And I really like that because that means helipads, which are not towered, you know, don't count. You know, it also says, it would also mean that, you know, small municipal airports, if they are, you know, unregulated or uncontrolled and they don't have a tower, that you would still be able to fly within the vicinity of those airports. Obviously, we don't know what that vicinity would be. I'd imagine that it would still you'd still have some geofencing issues depending on the drone you're flying. But,
right. You
know, speaking of geofencing, will this make DJI kind of rein back in their geofencing firmware update?
I would think so, at least on the smaller drones.
Yeah.
Maybe not on the Inspire and some of the bigger ones.
Yeah. Well, I know that the main difference between the A2 flight controller and the Wukong flight controller when you are building the drones is that on the A2, and this is when you're building a custom drone, the A2, you can turn off the airport restrictions. I know that for a fact. And there is a way to turn off all geofencing with DJI drones, but I prefer not to mention that on the air just because I want people to fly responsibly.
Of course.
So that being said, what other things did you see or did you like about this? Because I know our tone is kind of monotone, but I'm really excited about this. I mean, this really could pave the way for people like myself to just go out there, do their thing, and make money. And I think there are so many people who don't have 333s who are really good drone pilots. And I think that this is going to spur massive economic development. And frankly, I think it is a beautiful, 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 beautiful thing.
Yeah, it is. I think certainly there are a lot of questions still remaining, some that we've already mentioned, some relating to the viability of this act actually getting passed. I mean, it's not law yet.
No, that's true.
We've got to see that come through.
But this, you know, remember with the FMRA from 2012, the initial purpose of that bill was the modernization of the FAA's system, the air traffic control system, going from a radar-based to a GPS-based system. And we're seeing another reauthorization because it's here we are 4 years later.
Right.
So I think the propensity for this bill to become law, in my eyes, is much faster than, say, the NPRM, because the NPRM we're still pretty far away from that point.
Yeah,
so,
and so absolutely, and so we certainly hope that, it comes through something close to what it's written as. I'm not sure where they get 4.4 pounds. Do you have any idea where
that's
that comes from?
2 kilograms. So 2 kilograms is the rule for Mexico. 2 kilograms is the rule for many European countries. In fact, where you see most micro UAS rules, it's 2 kilograms, and 2 kilograms is 4.4 pounds.
Okay,
so I
we're
think
just being consistent with sort of the international community.
Yes,
is that a safe way to say it.
Yes. Now, I would love to email this representative and say, is there any way we can move this up to 5 pounds?
2.5.
Or maybe I'll call Paul Pan from DJI, the lead engineer, and call him and say, so, are you guys going to build a lighter Inspire 1? Because
right.
We really hope so.
The pressure's on you now.
Which I could totally see them doing that. I mean, they've really reinvented their product year after year after year. So, and there's already DJI Phantom 4 owners groups on Facebook. So it's only a matter of time before we see a Phantom 4.
That's right. So one of the other things in here, Paul, and I want to get your thoughts on it, is it says this would apply to flights during daylight. Does that bother you? Do you think that's reasonable?
Well, because this would be a kind of blanket approval of mm-hmm. people flying, I think it is actually, it's going to be limiting. I'm trying to look at it from both perspectives, Rob, because there's the perspective of you're going to have a lot more people operating drones commercially, but just as soon as they start, they're going to fall off just as fast if they don't have the skill, the business savvy that they need, as well as can produce a quality deliverable.
Right.
That being said, in my eyes, it's a good thing. In the eyes of roofing inspections, thermal infrared, any application with thermal infrared, it's going to be extremely inhibiting, because when you're doing a roof inspection, the best time to do a roof inspection is civil twilight after sunset, which would be, you know, defined by the FAA. Civil twilight is in itself its own categorization of light.
As in not daylight?
Well, see, here's the weird thing.
When, so that's more of a gray area again.
Yes, it is. But when I went through my pilot training for the 333, one of the questions on the exam is, when is a powered parachute pilot or light sport pilot allowed to fly? And it's from sunrise to sunset. Do you have the option? The next question is, do you have the option to fly any other time? And the answer is yes, during civil twilight, which is defined as 30 minutes before sunrise and 30 minutes after sunset.
Okay, so maybe they would do something similar in here in terms of start adding those definitions.
I think it would be helpful to people.
I think so too.
Because again, you know, if you're a roofing contractor, flying after sunset is imperative to do your job. So
right.
Is there limitations to this? Absolutely. Is this kind of one of those things where we can shake hands, walk away, and say the drone community is one? Yeah, I really do. And the next question would be is, did the AMA have anything to do with this? Because if the AMA had anything to do with this, it would completely flip my attitude towards the AMA right now. And I'm sure it would flip the attitude from many other people. But the AMA hasn't made a statement yet. You know, I'll be scouring my email today through all 3,300 messages to look for that AMA email today.
I'm
so.
Sure you will. The other thing this makes me think about, Paul, is that, so for example, here in Albuquerque, we've had these ordinances passed by the city of Albuquerque. You alluded to them at the beginning of the podcast, where they're cutting out or they're not allowing people to fly in parks.
Yeah.
And they're putting up these signs. And I wonder if this sort of friendlier perspective on micro drones would cause cities like Albuquerque to change their stance and maybe kind of do a 180, frankly, on some of those ordinances.
That's actually a very good point. I should call a few of the reporters from the local news stations and make sure they know that.
Yeah, well, absolutely.
I do believe that the federal precedent will set the precedent for municipalities and local local ordinances. Here's the other issue. I would love to talk to the news and say the city of Albuquerque has absolutely zero authority to pass laws that say you can't fly here. Because guess who controls the national airspace system? The feds, the FAA.
Well, yeah,
and they put the memo out there too, you know, saying to local governments, look, you can't control the airspace, so don't try to. I mean, that memo came out 3 months ago. But can they control where you can take off and land from, though? Yes, they can.
Yeah, and so obviously it's a city park, and I'm sure they have the jurisdiction to do what they need to do as far
true.
As parks are concerned.
So very true.
Is there anything in here that or that is not in here that you wish was?
Oh, I haven't been able to go through it with a fine-tooth comb. I wish the weight allotment was just a little bit higher, but I have a feeling that with the advancement of technology that an Inspire 1 in time will come down below 4.5 pounds. I would love to see beyond visual line of sight. I would love to see a mention of national parks because, you know, 2 years ago, and it's just funny, literally 2 years ago, it was totally okay to fly your drone in a national park.
What changed to cause it not to be?
They created a temporary rule or okay. a temporary law. And the thing is that the National Park Service does have the authority to do that. Right. But again, you know, if you are standing on the outside of the park, you take off and you fly into the park, totally legal.
Right. And you actually came across a park ranger and had that conversation with him.
Yeah.
He couldn't disagree. He was surprised you knew that.
I was surprised he knew that. I was surprised that he knew
Everybody
the loophole
surprised.
In the law. I was like, so you know that if I take off from Antelope Point Canyon on top and I fly into Lake Powell, it's okay. And he's like, yeah, I know that. He goes, but if you take off and land from the water, I'm taking your drones. I said, no, you're not.
You're like, catch me.
I don't understand funny. In the rule where it says confiscation anywhere, but how about this? You take it, I'm going to take the SD card, and I'll catch up with you later. Anyway, I want to know what everyone else's reaction is. I want to know, you know, what your feelings are on the AIR Act. I want to know what you guys think of the micro UAS rule. So in... You know, instead of asking a question, maybe, we still love those questions, let us know your thoughts, because we're going to be coming up with a new series starting next week where we talk about the Section 333. We talk about kind of our stance on that and how that is not really changed since episode 140, but we have thought about this in every potential perspective, and we want to go over those things with you. And it's something that we're going to be focusing a lot on next week. So if you have a thought on the 333... if you do not plan on getting a 333, leave us a message on Ask Dronia. We really want to know your thoughts on this micro UAS rule, what you believe would be the right answer in Congress or the right law, I guess you could say, here in the United States to allow for the freedom of flight. We really want to hear from you. So, you know, make sure you get those questions and those statements in, because we really want to hear from you. And I think this is going to be a big series. If you remember, episode 140 was one of our top downloaded episodes. I'm kind of proud about that. Anyway,
kidding. Oh, yeah, we haven't heard.
Anyway, I'm hoping this series...
it was a good one.
I'm hoping this series has the same effect. John Rupert will be coming on board. I'm actually scheduling a lot of people who were in episode 140 to come on to this series, because their perspective, like ours, has changed a little bit.
Yeah, I'm going to be really curious to hear how those folks are looking at registration, which, of course, the deadline is looming.
It is.
And so I'm curious to know what they're thinking about registration, whether they've already done it, whether they're not going to, et cetera.
The other very interesting aspect of this is that if this micro UAS rule passes, there's no registration anymore.
Well, yeah, I was curious, but why? Who says?
Well, because this would overrule, as it says in there, any existing or upcoming legislation for drones that weigh below 4.5 pounds. Okay. I'll have to do some more digging. I guess we need John Roop, J. Rupp.
Yeah, I'm not sure about that. I mean, it sounds good, but I'm not sure.
It sounds
can
delicious.
Say that definitively. Particularly since registration is already in place. I don't know. We'll find out more. Maybe John can help us clear that up.
Yeah, I hope so. But anyway, guys, if you have a question, be sure to go to askdroneu.com and upload those questions. If you are a Section 333 operator, then you need to be getting your private property permission slips or your ability to fly over private property. So utilize the application Legal Flyer to get property release forms and have those so that you can send them to the FAA in your monthly checks. And also, if you want to know how to go bald, email us, support@thedroneu.com, and Rob will tell you.
So somebody here in the office, one of our colleagues here in the office, her son came in and asked me just the other day, Mr. Rob, did you go bald on purpose?
Was that Cammy's son?
Yeah.
Did you say yes?
I said, absolutely I did. You should try it.
What did he say?
Because life is a lot easier.
And he said, it really is easier.
He said no. And I said, it's really easy to wash. I said, and your hair is short enough too, Caleb's his name. Just use the toilet. He didn't like that.
You didn't like that idea?
Nope.
That's funny. Well, guys, that's going to do it for us today. Thanks again for listening. Again, upload your questions, askdroneu.com. Special thanks to everyone who makes this podcast work. Special thanks to GPC. We've got a couple new sponsors coming on board here. I'm really excited about that.
Yep.
We're really excited to start working with some other people as well. So anyway, guys, that's going to do it for us today. My name is Paul.
And I'm Rob.
And this is Ask Drone You.
Thanks for listening to the Ask Drone You podcast. Be sure and tune in next time to your personal experts for answering your drone questions, Rob Burdick and Paul Aiken, so you can keep lowering your learning curve and save time and money. Time and money.